Okay, we're continuing in the Rambam. We now are on Rambam Hilchas Gzela Vaveda Perek Yud Aleph Halacha Zayin. We're learning the laws of returning lost objects. We gave some basic fundamentals yesterday. And we continue with this aspect. We're not going to repeat the idea, but you are not allowed to return items to non-Jews unless there's an aspect of Chilul or Kiddush Hashem involved. But to Jews, you must return. So now the question becomes, so if you find something, how do you know if it belongs to a Jew or not? So that's where now on Halacha Zayin, page 334 and 335 in the Maznayim text. If the majority of people in the city are non-Jews, that's a general rule of thumb to understand. You should assume it fell from a non-Jew. There's certain assumptions we have to realize. If a Jew drops something in a city that's primarily not Jewish, there are certain halachic principles we follow. One of them is holchim acharov. We go after the majority. If there are, you know, like 900,000 non-Jews and 100,000 Jews in the city, the likelihood of a non-Jew picking it up is far greater than a Jew picking it up. So if you drop something, and we'll see shortly, and there's so many more non-Jews than Jews, so obviously, the guy who lost it figures what? That a non-Jew picked it up. Right?
You mean city or neighborhood?
I'm not getting specific now. I'm gonna be specific in a minute. Let's just assume in this area, there's a 9-to-1 ratio of non-Jews to Jews. Okay? And for that matter, it could be 5.5 to 4.5. It doesn't matter. The Jew will assume that a non-Jew picks it up. And a non-Jew does not have our Torah. And a non-Jew follows the rules of finders keepers. And therefore, the Jew, upon him realizing that he has lost an object, even if it has his name on it, he knows darn well that the non-Jewish world will not return it. And therefore, and if it is, it's a fluke. And the normally it doesn't. At that point, we say he is meyaesh. He gives up despair. He despairs. He gives up hope. And at that point, he's relinquished his ownership of the object. And at that point, it is called hefker. It's ownerless. So therefore, even if a Jew would pick it up, we will see this all. I'm just thinking outside. It is already ownerless. He's given up hope on it, and you are entitled to keep it. Now, on the other hand, if you drop it in a Jewish neighborhood, it's a 9-to-1 ratio of Jews, you figure there's a greater chance a Jew's going to pick it up. And if you have a way of showing that it's yours, there's a simon, there's a, what do you call, sign on it, that could show that it's yours, you won't give up hope, because of course a Jew is going to follow the Torah and is going to return the object, going to try to find the return. So that's where the idea of majority plays an important role. So that, with that in mind, we can look now in Halacha Zayin. Ha'yarov ha'ir ovdechav, the majority of the people living in the city were ovdechav. So let's say Toronto. The majority of people in Toronto are non-Jewish. And for that matter, the city of Vaughan, the majority are not Jewish. But but if you find it in a place in the city, Shirov HaMitzuyim Sham Yisrael, that most of the people there are Jews, you find it in the Sobeys parking lot, right? You find it in the sidewalk right across Yisodei HaTorah, right? Or Beis Yaakov, right? There's a high probability that another observant. Now, here's where it gets critical. We talk about observant and non-observant Jews. You see where the difference has to be played out with the Rambam saying over here? Jews isn't enough. It's got to, because you'll see the reason has to follow that. It has to be observant Jews. An observant Jew knows these halachas, learns the Rambam, knows you try to return an object. Non-observant Jews are really no different than non-Jews in this philosophical area of finders keepers, right? There are no different. So a secular Jew would be not helpful in many areas, because remember, it's what's in the mind of the person who dropped it. Person who dropped it, if he dropped it where there, you know, if let's say when we were in yeshiva, right? And tells yeshiva it's on its own grounds. You had to go up a hill from Euclid Avenue. It was like Bathurst Street. You went up. It was private property, no trespassing. I don't know how many acres of land the yeshiva was on. You had a base medrash. You had a dorm. You had a dining room. If you find a lost object, you know an observant Jew is going to find it. Except there may be 5 non-Goyish caretakers, right? But it's like hundreds of religious people. So you know a Jew's going to find it. A Jew's going to try to return it. I'm not going to give up hope on it, right? But on the other hand, you would find it in front of a place where there's a lot of Jews, but they're all secular. A secular Jew is not going to return a lost Sabbath. They don't have the Torah to tell them to return it. So it's no different than being amongst goyim. So now you have to have some good shilas. So if you find it mamish on the sidewalk in front of you, Sodeh Torah, you know, or Beis Yaakov, well, there is much more religious Jews than even secular Jews walking on that path. You know, you have enough. You find it in a Jewish school, right? As such, then there's a greater likelihood. But the fact you find it in a Sobeys parking lot already, even that, I would still say there's more secular Jews. Goyim and secular Jews combined is greater than observant Jews in the Sobeys parking lot. Even in the Chabad Plaza parking lot, there's still more, right? So therefore, under those circumstances, it would be a situation where the person who lost it will probably be Miyayish, realizing he's not going to get it back, right? So that's how we'd have to understand this. So now, let's explain now. If you find a place where most people are Yisrael, are Jews, and there are Jews who will, if they find it, will try to find the owner, and therefore the person who lost it will not despair. So even though in the city itself, there are more non-Jews, but in this little couple, this neighborhood of town, it's very observant Jews, right? This area of Borough Park, right? Where you find it, right? On 14th Avenue, right? You know, there's much more observant Jews than any other person around over there. Even though the city of New York, there's more non-Jews, right? Still, then, Chayiv Lahachris, you are obliged to call out and announce and find the owner, because the owner has not despaired. Avo bat imotza b'sratyo platya gedola. But if you find it in a public thoroughfare, or a public marketplace. Now, the next couple words are a little difficult in the Rambam, they need a little kvetching here. But the main idea is where it's primarily non-Jews. The main idea is it's primarily non-Jews. And even in shuls and in study halls, where the non-Jews are found there consistently, it must have a lot of problems with this Rambam. We're talking about a shul that's mostly Jews. So they're saying, well, maybe it's a shul that's far away, like in the forest. You know, let's say, you know, like sometimes you have these workers' shuls. You know, you couldn't come back from mincha. You walked a couple of miles to go to the forest to work. It's time for mincha. You're not going to walk back to shul. So they make these little shuls, you know, little huts, you know, and around that area, okay, you'll have Jews in that shul area, but there's a lot of non-Jews all around that area as well. That has to mean that's the meaning of the Rambam, or else it doesn't make any sense. It's a difficult Rambam, but the idea being place where there's lots of people, and lots of them are not Jewish people, and lots of non-Jews are found there consistently. And that's the main idea. Ubachom makom sharabim mitzvushom. A place where there's a lot of people. Harei hametzia shalo. If you find it, you can keep it. Why? The logic again is, if it fell from a non-Jew, so for sure you can keep it. Yeah, you're right. If it fell from a Jew, Jew has despaired. Because since there's more non-Jews around, then he's despaired of ever getting it back. So at that point, the item becomes Hefker. Now let's say you picked it up, and it even says a guy's name on it. But it doesn't matter. It even says, you know, Yisroel Schwartz, you know, and there's a picture of him, and he has payas hanging down. So you know it's an observant Jew, right? A visibly observant Jew, okay? So you can assume he's an observant Jew, right? But it happens to be in a neighborhood where it's mostly non-Jews. So you're allowed to keep it, and look how far it goes. And so you picked it up on Monday, and you're keeping it, right? Comes along Wednesday, Yisrael Schwartz bumps into you, says, did you find a wallet of mine? Va'afilu ba Yisrael v'nasan simen, if a Jew comes and gives you the simen, gives you the identifying marks, you can keep it. Why? You may keep it. Sharei nisyoish mimona kishenafla, because at the time when he dropped it, he gave up hope of ever finding it again. Mipnei Sho Omer, because he says to himself, Oyvei Kachavi Mitzah, a non-Jew found it. And since there's a majority of non-Jews located in these places, the owner cannot rightfully assume that a Jew is going to pick it up. Therefore, he'll despair of getting it back. And therefore, at the time when you pick it up, The guy who lost it has already despaired, right? But, and even, I don't want to get into the whole issue now, those who are learning the Gemara, the issue of Yush Shalom Midas, according to Rabbah, according to Abai, who says the guy has to give up hope. So the Chiddush is that when you're dealing with things like in places with a lot of people, the guy will know very quickly that he's lost the item. In other words, a person will, generally when you're in a big place and you lost an item, you'll know pretty quickly you lost the item. By the time you pick it up, the owner will have despaired. And we can assume that that has happened. Once an owner despairs, he says, I give up hope, that even if he says, I don't give up hope, the rabbis say, what you're saying is meaningless. Because can imagine, you find a wallet in Penn Station.
Yeah.
Okay? Grand Central Station. Downtown, what's the downtown?
Union Station.
How often do I have a Union Station?
I'm in
Penn Station more than in Union Station. Right? Union Station, you find a wallet with a name, the owner has given up hope, there's no way he's going to get it back. And the biggest proof is like this. I say, well, maybe he does get it. If a guy was like this, listen, what was the wallet worth? $1,000. Let's say it was money, this and that. Yeah. I'll pay you $50 for the rights to it in case it gets found. Mm-hmm. What would you do? You take it, because you know you ain't going to get it. You take the $50. Maybe not a penny, but a marginal amount, 10 cents of the dollar, for sure you would. I'll give $100 in case, let's make a deal, in case it gets found. Whenever you call the cops, someone gets sold, you ever expect to get it back? Even with a police force and everything, with forensic testing and everything going out there, forget it, you know no one's gonna. If you get it, it's mamash a shock.
You put it in the newspaper.
You know, it's a shock. Do you ever expect anything back? You don't expect anything back. And that's stealing. And you got a force out there trying to stop them. Here it's a lost object. No police isn't gonna try to help you. Right? What are the odds? Come on, let's, that's how you could test. Okay, you're willing, I'll give you $100, and in case it gets found, I get everything that's there. You will certainly sell them those rights. When push comes to, okay, not a penny, not a nickel, but if something has already a certain value, but it's far less than what it is, right? That means you really feel you're not going to find it again. That's the emes. The emes is if someone will say, okay, you ever going to be, I'm not going to be, I'll tell you, just in case you do, the odds are probably 1 in 100. I'll give you $100, and in case it gets found, you give me all the money. And, if it's enough money just to make it worth his while, because he knows he doesn't have it, right? At that point, he has relinquished ownership from the item. He no longer is the owner of the item. Now a guy comes along and picks up. He knows that that item is now hefker. It's ownerless. Used to be, but it's ownerless. And according to Jewish law, you are allowed to keep it. Because now let's think about it. If you don't keep it, who will keep it?
The non-Jew.
The non-Jew will keep it. Right? The non-Jew will keep it. And what will he do with all that money? Doing things that non-Jews do with money. Right, so Hashem is obviously helping you with that. Now, hold on. There's another two lines I have to read before you can ask any questions. Okay, there's another two lines that I have to read. Okay, but that is the halacha. Therefore, the Shulchan Aruch writes: let's say if an article is lost in a city primarily inhabited by Jews, but this certain area is a very non-Jewish area, again, you don't have to announce it, and you may keep it. Right. So that's halacha. Metzia is shalom. Now important point. Afal pishi shalom. Even though by law, remember everything's by law here. By law, it is yours. But a right salelech b'derech hatov ha'yosher. But if a person wants to go in the good and straight path, va'isa lifnim mishuras adin, and to go beyond the letter of the law, if you want to be what we call a real supermensch. You return the lost object to the Jew when he gives you the signs that that is his. And this is what the Torah means, where it's the idea to go beyond the letter of the law. Right? And there's a lot of interesting commentaries that discuss this. What if the finder is rich, is a very wealthy man, then they for sure has a bigger obligation to return it because he doesn't even need the money. Right? On the other hand, the Ramah says, what if the finder is very poor? Let's see, you find a wallet, it says, Moshe Reichman. Moshe Reichman, it says, $1,000 cash. Right? So Ramah, and you are the poorest of the poorest guy in the world. So, you know what? according to, you're not obliged to go beyond the letter of the law, and you don't have to return the lost item. It's as if Hashem gave you the money. That's where you, because he needs that thousand, he can live without the $1,000. You need the $1,000. Hashem found a way to give you the $1,000. And that's all. There's, the ways of Hashem are strange. Now, then, they don't even have beyond the letter of the law an obligation. Because once he's lost, it's not, in other words, this whole idea, we have to understand this whole idea, gotta always remember one idea. The money is really Hashem's. That's what you always have to, that's the problem with money. We think the money belongs to us. We are just the trustees of the money. You have to always remember, we are the trustees. So if things get lost, so there's certain times an obligation to return it to the trustee, and certain times it's not an obligation to return it to the trustee. We got to get out of that mindset that we own the money and it's us and it's this. Now, there are certain aspects you have to treat other people's money with respect. You just can't trample on a guy's lawn and hurt his feelings. But on the other hand, it is God's money, and God does decide certain things should happen. The fact that it's lost, Hashem has a little hand in this. Right? Don't you think, you know, you did you know you had a hole in your pocket? You have two pockets. One has a hole, one doesn't. And you put in the one that has a hole. You know, usually you put it in the other pocket. And this time you put it in that. You know, a lot of losses is Hashem making the loss. Now, there's many reasons why Hashem could do it. He could do it because he wants someone to do the mitzvah of returning a lost object. Sometimes he wants the guy to have some money. There's a poor man. You know, there's all kinds of chazal, for example. People who are rich who don't give tzedakah. So Hashem has to make them give tzedakah so they lose money. They lose money and they give some tzedakah. At least the money is going in a good place where it should go. Hashem has his ways of doing things. So we have to follow halacha. We can't just say, oh, it's a sign from Hashem, Hashem. There are halachas over here. So if it's a primarily Jewish neighborhood and a Torah observant neighborhood and you find $1 million since Moshe Rachman, you got to give it back. Because he hasn't despaired because he expects to get the money back because it's a Jewish neighborhood. But if you're finding in the middle of downtown and it's a goyish neighborhood, then the person has despaired. Once he's despaired, he's given up ownership. Once ownership is gone, he says, it's not mine anymore. It's not mine. And once it's not mine, it's anybody's. He is halakhically anybody's. You are totally permitted to keep it. And you have to look at it. It's Hashem's ratzon that you should have it. Now, we don't go to the extent that you become a robber and say, well, you know what, I'm gonna try the front door. If it's open, it's Hashem's ratzon, I should have it. No, because halacha says you're not allowed to trespass in a guy's house. But the halacha says, look, there's $100 sitting sitting there and nobody's there. Then obviously, why did Hashem bring you there? There is a bashert. So now there's halacha. You have to follow halacha. If it's a completely Jewish neighborhood, it's Hashem sitting there because he wants you to return and get a mitzvah. But if it's a place where it's mamash all goyim, so why did five goyim pass by it and they didn't pick it up and I saw it? Because Hashem wanted me to see it. Hashem wanted me to have it. And the other guy has despaired. Now, you want to be a bigger tzaddik? Okay. Now, this, now, you know, when it's $5 and $10, it's one thing. What if it's $50,000? Let's paint a scenario like this, okay? I know Ron is cringing at these ideas a little bit, right? Yeah. So let's say Ron normally does very well in business, and this was a particularly bad year, and he bought a lot on credit, and he's like $100,000 short, and the bank's going to close his account with him unless he comes with $100,000 tomorrow. And Ron doesn't know what to do, and therefore he's so sad, his head's down. And as his head's down in Union Station, he sees an envelope with $100,000.
Cash.
$100,000, and it says Moshe Reichman. So now, what happened? Hashem bailed you out, man. No, he bailed you out because Moshe Reichman gave up hope on that $100,000, right? But if you would have found it at in front of Beis Yaakov, right? Then Hashem only wanted to test you. Wanted to give you a mitzvah. So now you can go leave the Mishra today. You can go beyond the letter of the law if you want to. But your whole family's going to starve. You're going to be out of work. It's going to be terrible. Obviously, Hashem saved you and wanted Moshe Reichman to have a little more tzedakah. He could afford it, and you got it, and you'd be too embarrassed to go to him, Ron. We know you're a proud man, right? You wouldn't want to go to him. But Hashem listened to your tefillos. You daven, Hashem, help me, I need help. Baruch Hashem, it came at least from a yid, and the yid got schar for the suck, and he gave up hope from getting it, and now he got the mitzvah. So why interfere with God's plans?
If Hashem wants you to have it, and you return it, you'll get another way, no?
Not always. He said, I gave you the money. The halacha says it's yours. That's the point. The halacha says it's yours. So that's the way Hashem gave it to you.
Shouldn't he be a supermensch?
No, you don't have. Not when you need $100,000 and you have to feed your family and kids, then you're not supposed to. You're not supposed to be a mensch. Not, you're supposed to be a mensch. Supposed to be a mensch. And that's what Hashem wants from you. To take that because you were too arrogant to ask for anybody else. And Hashem had to give it to you. And this is how he gave it to you. That's all. And even if the guy later says, you know, I lost my thing. Well, you know, according to Halacha, you gave up hope and I was allowed to keep it.
Yeah.
And that's how far the halacha goes. And because you did give up hope. Because if anybody go to Reichman and say, how about if we give you 10 cents to the dollar? If Kasich gets found, he would, as a businessman, he says, sure, I take that. I know. There's millions of goyim over there. They're all going to take it and keep it and run away. I gave up hope completely from getting it. What are the odds? You know, it's not going to find. Not going to give it.
As a businessman, you might take that deal, but that doesn't mean to say you've given up hope. Because if you're still asking for identification, like in the case before, we asked about, did you find my own?
Right, but where did you? It's critical where you dropped it. If you drop it where it's most likely a non-Jew will pick it up, you know you're not going to see it again.
But then why would you ask the question from someone else if it's not?
Some people may deny reality. There are people who don't live in reality. It goes to what reality is. That's it. You can say all day, I'm not giving up hope. I'm not giving up. The truth is, though, deep inside you have. Mentally you have. Emotionally you haven't. Emotionally, you can't let it go. But intellectually, it's gone. Forget it. You ain't going to see it again. The odds of a yid from yid picking it up is impossible. It's not. So so Chazal, the rabbis have taken it away from you. They've taken it away from you because anyone with their right mind would give up hope. The fact that you don't doesn't make a difference.
And on the flip side, if you do something in a public place. So you wouldn't say that to Hillim that there's for lost objects, to find lost objects? Because you shouldn't be saying that.
You know.
Don't get him started on that.
You should give her a Mayor Balanes, right? You say, you daven Hashem, you say, Gamzu L'tova. Gamzu L'tova, you understood what's best for me, and if I'm supposed to have it, you'll bring it back to me. But I know from Allah, it's no different than a bad business deal, Larry. Let's say you took $100,000, Larry, and you invested in what your broker told you to invest, right? And it went belly up. So what do you could say to him also, Hashem, please find another way for me to get $100,000. Right?
No, it's gone,
man. No, you know it's gone, too. Yeah. You invested a year ago in American dollars. All right? It could switch back 15 cents. Yeah, when? Who knows? So, you know, you have to, there are certain realities of life that you can't deny the realities. And you can't, and the biggest proof that you've given over, because a person would pay you for it, you would sell it. That's the biggest proof that you really, really know it's not, you're not going to find it. You emotionally can't let it go. You know, chas v'shalom, it's never happened, a child is missing. And it's been 7 years. I mean, you know, they're either dead or untraceable, but they can't let, but no one can let it go. But intellectually, they're gone. Intellectually, they're out. Emotionally, you'll never let them go, but that's not reasonable. There's reasonable things. If you dropped it in Central Station, whoever picked it up is going to keep it, it's gone. And we'll see other examples of it's gone. No matter how much you don't like the reality, it is gone. And that halachically, you can't do anything. I'll tell you the bigger truth, it's gone. You were going to buy a house. You were going to do a deal with a fellow, cash deal. Alright? $100,000 is going to be the down payment on the house. You're going to the broker who's, to the agent who lives downtown. You're going in the subway. Right? You got the $100,000, yeah? It was in your pocket when you left your house, right?
No.
It's in the vest, right? You're going up. Now you know where you were. You right before you went to the subway, you had it in your hand. It's here. And then you started reading a book, and now you're on the subway all the way Union Station, all the way through the streets of downtown. You go to the 17th floor in the Scotia Plaza, and you say, here is the... So now, will the guy sell you the house? Oh, I have it. Oh, really? Where is it? It's somewhere. Let's make the deal. You know what? You have, it's yours. Wherever you find it, it's yours, and the deal is done on that. Can we do a deal with that, Larry? You're an accountant, Larry. You're an accountant. What if $100,000 of assets of H&R, there's 100,000 cash. It was the day before you're doing the final books. It's a write-off. But Mr. H, right? Like, I'm not giving up hope. I think I'm going to get it. What do you put on the balance sheet? Is it there or is it not there? That's the answer. That's the answer. In a legal world, can you transact business with that 100,000? You know, we're making a deal. Here's 100,000. It's yours. It's yours. I've given you the, where is it? It's somewhere between the subway and here. And when anybody finds it, it's yours. The guy will say, it's gone, man.
You can't make a deal with the money that you lost in
front
of Base Yaakov either.
Then what you do is you wait till somebody returns it.
Right, so I know. So
but nobody is going to return it. No one's going to return it. But you know that you will get it back. This, you know you're not going to get it back. You know you're not going to get it back. You could make a conditional deal with the guy that if it comes within a year's time, you can assume it's going to come back. There are differences. There's a greater likelihood that you're going to find it.
I agree, but I'm just...
And you're not going to despair. You're not going to despair. Yeah? We're going slower than yesterday.
What I have an issue with is philosophically... Now, let's say you were down at Union Station and you dropped your wallet, and I know you. And then what happens is I take that wallet, now I can keep it, even though it says your name, and I'm coming and seeing you every day, and I know I have your wallet, and I have your wallet.
Again, there's halacha. How you can never mix emotion with halacha. That's the first rule in halacha. God does halachas with clear intellect, not with emotions. You're just letting your emotions get involved here. It's not. Remember, get the emotions out. It's Hashem's money. You got to remember, it's Hashem's money. Hashem wants you to have the money. Now, you might want to give the guy his ID, because it's important. You should give him his ID, because there's so much tircha. To get another driver's license would be impossible.
I'm keeping your money.
But the cash, you don't know from the cash. That's all I saw. That's all
empty.
That's there.
See, I found your wallet empty.
You know, that's all. Again, so therefore, again, I'm trying to explain. There's law, and then there's beyond. So, of course, a guy like you, Ron, and a guy like Mabel, you're going to give it back. You're going to give it back. That's wonderful. And that's a wonderful thing, but we're talking about legislating. You got to remember, not every Jew has life so easy. You got to understand, life is not so simple. And Hashem, therefore, helps people in unusual ways. And according to law, why am I not allowed to take money out of your pocket, Ron? Why can't I go right now and take money out? Why can't I do it? Tell me one reason why. Why? You're a rich guy. I'm a poor rabbi. Who says you should have all the money, Ron? You know, I'm just saying, you know, you got millions, Ron. You live the life of Riley. You know, and I'm struggling. So, and only because, you know, you were lucky with... Why shouldn't I have? Only one reason. Because Hashem says I can't take what's yours. Finished. That's the only reason I can't take it.
Ron's supposed to look after. You can't take what he's obligated to look after.
And Ron is in charge of that money, and he can't waste that money. He has to use it, and the first person he has to spend it on is Ron, because if Ron has used his money to save Ron, no one's going to save Ron. And therefore, I'm not allowed to take that money. God says I can't take that money. Right? But if God says, you know, Ron lost the money, and now I've had him lose it in a place where there aren't Jews, then Hashem wanted Ron to lose the money. He wanted Ron to lose the money. And if I find it, and he wanted me to find it. And the mechanics of that permissibility are, and when Ron knew he lost it, he says, I give up. It ain't mine anymore. So from a legal point of view, it's not yours. That's all. It's because you've given up hope on it. And once you've given up hope, it's no longer yours. It's not yours. So okay, but I know it says, okay, so you want to be a tzaddik? Be a tzaddik. But what if you really need the money? What if you really, really need the money? So then you're really entitled to keep it. That's all. You're not being a rusher. You're not doing anything wrong. And that's, if you feel in my heart, I get, but believe me, it's very easy for us who live comfortable lives to talk that way. If the Torah is given for all Jews, and there's many Jews who are in poverty, right? And you're in dire poverty, and let's really make it real, okay? And your marriage is on the rocks because you're such a low yutzlach, and you can't make any money, you can't make the payments, and you know, and we know how marriages can suffer terribly because of parnassi issues. And now you found Moshe Reichman's wallet.
But a poor person can lose money too.
So fine, doesn't matter who. You found that money. So what's HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying to you? He says, and you need it. You need the money. Right? So the Torah says, well, halachically, he's given up hope, so you're entitled to keep it. And then the person can keep it. So because you're doing so well, the money isn't that important to you. But if your life depended on it, then it, when the Torah says you're allowed to keep it, you can keep it. That makes a lot. You know, how's it different than when you invest in stocks? You know, a lot of money you have is other people's money. You buy a stock, you cash in a stock, and the other guy sold it because he lost. The guy bought a stock at $100 a share. And now it's gone down to 20, and now you're buying it. Aren't you really stealing his money? It was a share worth more. You're taking it. That's the way business goes. Hashem takes the money away and gives it to others. That's the way all life goes. Hashem takes away and gives to others. That's the way it works. You buy a house, it was so cheap, it went up. The other guy bought it up, it went down. Hashem takes it away.
You can do it in so many ways, Hashem. But to find a wallet with someone's name in
that's my question. So Hashem wants it to be. Wants to be that way. That's all. That's the ways of Hashem. Ways of Hashem are very mysterious.
It seems tainted.
It's not tainted. The guy gave up hope on it. It's not his. It's not his anymore. That's the point. It's and if it didn't. Let's put it this way. And if it doesn't have his name on it, how is it any better? Don't you know there's a person ripping his hair out that he lost $100,000?
It
doesn't matter. But don't you feel bad? What are you feeling bad? Hashem wanted me to have it. That's why I can't feel bad. Hashem wanted me to have it.
I have a lot of questions.
Yeah?
What that scenario that you were saying before, when the guy came over and says, when he found it, on Wednesday a guy came over, David Schwartz comes over and says, did you see my wallet? What are you supposed to answer?
Do you want a loan?
You could say.
Do you want a loan?
You want a loan. You want a loan. It depends what kind of person David Schwartz is. If he's a real religious person, yeah, I found it and I kept it. Because I found it in Union Station. I was allowed to keep it. If he's a guy who can't take that very easily, Then you'll say, I don't know, maybe I don't think about it, you know, and then you find it. Oh, I found the wallet and give him without the cash.
You're lying.
You say, here's the wallet without the cash. That's all. What about the money? Remember, for Shalom, we learned it on Shabbos. For Shalom, you're allowed to change the truth. If the guy can't accept the Rambam's halachas, if the guy's going to accept the Rambam's, you say, what do you expect in Union Station for me to find money in there? Somebody probably took it.
Somebody did take it. With 100% certainty, someone probably took it.
Yeah. You know, I get a better answer. You know what you do? You do it like this. You find the wallet, you look at it, you put it down, take the money out, put it in, then pick up the wallet. Then he said, I picked up the wallet. There was no money in it. because the guy wouldn't be able to tolerate you following the halacha. The guy would not tolerate you. Again, remember, the Rambam does say, you want to go b'derech ha-tov, v'ha-yoshor. See, you're feeling, you are just a bunch of wonderful tov and yoshor people out there. You know? But you want to be tov and yoshor. To go, there is an aspect to go lifnei mishur zedin. Let's put it this way. You wouldn't want to make a shidduch with people who don't go lifnei mishur zedin. Tell me about this chassan. Well, I wanted you to know. He found $100,000 to Reichman. Rambam said he could keep it, and he kept it. Well, I don't know if you're going to be Mishadech with such a guy.
He follows the Rav's halacha.
He followed the basic halacha, but you know, why didn't he want to go beyond the letter of the law? But there is law, and there's, you got to understand, law is one thing, and beyond the letter of the law is another thing. And of course, it's a wonderful thing to go beyond the letter of the law. And we should strive to do that. But are you a ganef? Remember, what did the Rambam say? If it has a simon, and it should be returned, are you a ganef? What's a ganef mean? I went against, what's wrong with being a ganef? What's wrong with being a ganef? Hashem said the money's his and not yours. So So what's philosophically wrong with stealing? Not that you hurt another person. That's not the biggest problem. The biggest problem, you're denying God's existence because God said you shouldn't have the money. You're going against the will of God. God said Ron has 100,000 and you don't. I don't want you to have 100,000. That's the worst thing of Geneva. You're going against the will of God. But now the will of God is you should have it. You see? And why? Because Halacha says he gave up. So then what's wrong with me taking it? Hashem wanted Ron to lose the money for whatever tikkun had to be for him. He needed a tikkun. So now you want to go with it? That's your business. That's your business. I've already given you, you are not a thief. You are not a thief. You have no reason to give it back. And you can keep it. Okay, I think the point is clear. Yeah.
What about
we're not going to learn anything.
Is it specifically money? What about a lost book or a lost
anything,
dog?
Anything.
A lost dog? Oh, I think I'll keep it.
Anything that the assumption
that
is...
That dog was cute?
Anything where we assume the guy will give up hope because he knows someone will have found it and he won't get it back. There's many other aspects of this. Yeah?
It strikes me that this is one of those situations where the halacha is going... Our personal judgments and feeling are going counter to halacha, and really it's a touchstone of are we committed to halacha as the word and manifestation of Hashem that was doing something that we instinctively don't like. Right? Like to me, this is one of those
brainwashed.
That I mean, another
so fine. So fine. This is God's wisdom, and he understands this is the way things are. A person gave up his hope. You have to always put Hashem in all these equations of halacha. Everything in Torah is Hashem. Right? Hashem, you know, a lot of times you don't lose things. Why did you lose it? Why did you lose it there? Why did he pick it? It's all with Hashkacha. It's with 100% Hashkacha over here. And there's a reason why Hashem does certain things, right? And that's why so as long as you stay within the limits of what's right, it's fine.
What if the law of the land says you must return it?
That's a different thing. If the law of the land is one thing, there is no such law of the land.
It might be. I'm not sure.
It isn't. First law of the land is what we can't know, it doesn't exist. That's the law of the land. Right? Like, I do a big crime quite often in the mornings. I have to admit, it's Chatoi and I'm here. Right? When I get to Springgate and Atkinson at 6 in the morning, there ain't a soul on the street. For me to wait at that light is Mamish Bittel's mom. It's like, Mamish, I'm not talking about Bathurst now. Who wouldn't do this at Bathurst and Center? That's like crazy. But if this is Atkinson. So I stop. I look back. I look all forward. I mean, I look. I always look. Nobody there. So I'm making a left on the red. I don't care. I'm going to wait. I'm going to go. So now, according to the law, did I do a crime? Make a citizen's arrest? I want to report myself. I'm guilty for, the law is if nobody sees it, ain't a crime. There's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with they want to control your life. I don't have to. Now, when there's cars, isn't that okay? Of course. I'm not talking in the middle of the day and you're going to be smart and just goop an inch before the next day and he almost kills himself. I feel like there's nothing there, Christmas morning, ain't nobody on a side street. You have to come to a full stop at a stop sign. Narish guy. You come to the stop, you love it when these cops come, they're waiting there, you stop, but you're kind of rolling as you stop and there's nothing there and a cop nails you. Why? The whole thing is a cash grab. All it is a cash grab that they can go and wine and dine on your money. The whole thing, it's not because of safety, and if you go 65, go 120, it's not any more dangerous than 100. It's just as fine. It's a way to get your money, plain and simple. And that's all it is. So what does it mean, the law of the land is the law? The law is only to the extent that they're not considered ganovim. When they catch me for a speeding ticket of 10, they're not considered a ganav. But if I speed, I'm not considered of doing anything wrong. If it clearly isn't hurting anybody, right? And especially, don't you love these speed traps? Where for about 100 feet, it goes from 60 to 40 to 50 to 70. And there's no reason. It's the same highway. There's a little, all of a sudden there's a sign, 50. There's no school. I mean, there's nothing there. But what it is a little barricade of cops hiding behind. So he's going to know you're going 6 at all time. Caught you. It's there in Toronto. You have them. Why? For one reason. Well, if we need the money, we know how to get the money from you guys. Now, you don't call that America Ganef?
You should have driving school shoe.
You don't call that ganavish, mamish ganav? What are you doing it for? Are you making anybody say, you're a cop, go to Jane and Finch and save the, bust the drug dealers. No, we're gonna, cause why? Cause a speeding ticket's $150 a place, and points in this, and points means the insurance companies can charge you more, and you don't think there's kickbacks coming from, you don't think one day they're gonna find kickbacks from insurance companies to the police and the federal government? You're gonna find it all one day. You can find it all one day. And that's what are you doing that for? Okay, a guy's going 180. Okay, it's Takasa Sakona. These guys who are road racing. A guy's going 120 on a highway and it's a clear, sunny day and it's nothing. What's the problem? The problem is they need your money. That's all.
Do you have an obligation to make sure they don't get your money? Because you're supposed to look after your money.
Okay, so that's a machloikis. That's a machloikis in the poiskim. It's a machloikis in the poiskim. Okay, let's go on. Let's continue. Ches. I'm going to be embarrassed if we learn one halacha the whole day. It's going to be. I thought for sure, yes, I'm going to finish a whole parak. Ches. Now, you don't like this. You don't like Zion. You won't like Ches for sure. You will not like Ches at all. Matza be'ir zu sheruba avdik achavim chavishol yayin. Now you're finding in a city, which majority are non-Jews, you find a barrel of wine. Okay? A barrel of wine. Now what do you know about the laws of wine? If non-Jews make wine, you're not allowed to drink it. There's a concept of yayin nesech. I'm not going through the whole halachas of wine now, just basically, if a non-Jew makes wine, we have to treat it like treif. You're not allowed to drink it, you can't have anah from it, you have to spill it out. If a Jew made the wine and a non-Jew opened it up, and you also have to spill it out. All right? Yeah, that's why Jews have to buy wine that Jews make. It's been corked and bottled and finished. So now you find a, and now nowadays it says, you know, Kedem and Carmel and then Goyish ones. I don't even know any Goyish names, Baruch Hashem. Gallo wines. Right? Gallo. So you right away know. But in the olden days, a barrel of wine is a barrel of wine. You know, like if you go to Lewis's house in the basement, you see he's got this big glass barrel that's got wine sitting. It's got that wine looks like wine, like any wine. It's a barrel, regular barrel of wine, not marked, whatever. So now you find a barrel of wine, mostly non-Jews in the area, and now you find it. So without looking inside, what's the halacha? Can I keep the barrel?
No.
Can I keep the barrel? Can I keep the barrel? Can I? Because a barrel is good at holding things. I want. I'm gonna. I can. I can. I spill the wine out and keep the barrel, and the barrel can hold cups.
Yes.
Yes.
Why? Because we assume it came from a non-Jew.
Right.
Okay, so that's halacha. That's okay. Let's keep going. We're getting... Hold on.
You're okay
with that one. I didn't turn the page yet. Yena aser bana. The wine is prohibited to have any benefit from it because you know it's from a goy. But for kankana, but the barrel, mutter mishum avedes. In terms of a lost object, you're allowed to keep it. Very good. Now, turn the page. So now you got this barrel of wine. You've picked it up already. It's yours. You're about to pour the wine out.
Into the sewer.
But guess what? Vimbo Yisrael, now comes a Jew. Vinasan Simnai says, you know, did you find my barrel of wine?
No.
Yeah. That barrel of wine that has three little indentations on the lower left-hand side. Oh. Then mutter b'shasiya lezeh Yisrael shematzah. The guy who found it can drink the wine and keep the barrel. Now you understand what's going on here. Since it was a majority of non-Jews, so if the Jew lost it, he was already miyayish. He already despaired.
Yeah.
So now what? Your lucky day. Instead of having to spill out the wine and only keeping the barrel, since you know it belongs to a Jew, here's where you get to use the Jew's knowledge when it's just the money that you find. Well, you could have used it anyway. Money is money, right? You can use it, Jew, non-Jew. Yeah. But you found the barrel of wine. You couldn't drink the wine.
Right.
Now comes along the Jew and gives you the information necessary for you to keep it. But still he can't get it back. That's how far the halacha goes. That's how far the chiddush is. That because the Jew lets you know it was his, so the Jewish part lets you keep it, but the fact that he was miyayish and he gave up hope, then he was gave up hope. So now you can keep the wine, drink the wine, and keep the barrel, and everything's fine. That's how far the lacha goes. That's okay. It's logical, but of course Ron would give it back because he's a nice guy and he should give it back.
Or at least drink together. I don't know.
Yeah. You know? Okay. Halakha test. You're doing a barbecue in your backyard and you put on six nice steaks are just beginning to sizzle in your backyard. And you decide to leave the thing open. The cover is open. And you're looking through the kitchen and you won't believe it. A blue jay flies by, picks up one steak and flies away. Flies away. Okay? Flies away and it's flying and flying and flying. And where does he drop this piece of meat?
Right?
No, he drops it in your next door neighbor's Orthodox Jew's house on his barbecue.
Which happens to be on right now.
What's the halacha? What's the halacha? Can that guy keep that piece of meat or not?
Did you see the bird travel?
You see it flying away. It's gone.
You didn't see it go to your neighbor.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, yeah, it's gone. It went, you know, then after a few circles around, after a few miles, it winds up coming back.
You didn't see that happen. So
you're it's gone. So let's see. So you test. Ob shechatav basar, if a bird snatches some meat, vishlichu b'chatzer acheres, and he casts it into another field. Afal pi sherov ha'ir Yisrael. Even if, let's say, most of the people in the city are Jews, you're allowed to keep it as a lost, in terms of being a lost object. To eat it's another story. We'll see in a minute why. But because the owner gave up hope from it. Why? Because when an object is normally lost and there's yid in there, he should expect to get it back. But when a bird flies it, you know, yeah, maybe here it's most Jews, but if that bird flies for about 5 minutes, he's in a non-Jewish part of town, and I can assume he's going to take it far away and I'm not going to see it again. But you can keep it in terms of a lost object, but you can't eat it. Why can't you eat it? But I know it's my neighbor's piece of meat. Because I saw that bird. It was a bird, a blue jay. I saw it with the owner. I saw him leave it. Then 10 minutes later, after I said, forget, I'm not going to get it back. That same bird came back to my house now. Is that bird, that meat, plunks it down, and it was a rib steak. My guys, I have my rib steaks. So it's a blue jay with rib steaks that I saw 10 minutes ago. 10 minutes later, now what are the odds of another blue jay from a train going to come and give it to me?
The blue jays don't
Can you eat the meat? The answer is he cannot eat the meat. Because there's a different halach, as our mashkiach knows. There's a halach of basor shenis'aleim min ha'ayin. If meat has been hidden from your eyes, you are obliged to, even though the assumption is it's my regular meat, you have to assume that something was switched and you can't eat. Therefore, you always have to have meat covered and with seals and simonimus and that. It goes so far, this halacha, it's unbelievable, this halacha that, that's why, let's say, if you have a nanny in the house and you have meat lying around, it's a big problem. It's a big problem. Now, if they're in sealed packages, in the Sobe package, and it's closed up and this and that, that's fine. But you never know. A non-Jew could switch the meat for something else. That, as unlikely as it could be, that bird could have dropped it and smelled a nicer rib steak from a different place and picked that up. And therefore, in terms of kashrus, you can't eat it. But what could you do with it? You could give it. You can give it to your dog, or you can give it to your neighbor who's non-Jewish. You can give it to them. Hey, would you like a steak? Here is a steak, free steak, and you can give it to them. You could benefit from it, but you can't eat it. It's in terms of a lost object. But again, this idea is the assumption is it's he despairs from it, and there'll be further cases of despair as we go on. Yeah.
So if your neighbor's firm child picked it up and brought it to his house, like instead of the bird. The firm neighbor's child picked it up off your barbecue and took it to his barbecue.
That's
good. No. Could you keep it, though? Could you get it back? Because you knew that it didn't go flying all over the place. You knew that.
Well, then you should give it back. The kid stole it. You have an obligation to return that which was stolen.
You can go over and claim it, though. You can say that that's mine.
Yeah, it's Geneva. Okay, Yud. Now here we'll get a little less resistance, I hope. Yud. Amotzi aveda bezuta shel yam ushliluso shel nor shena paisik. Zuta shel yam means an area of, what's the word, where the tides go in and out. Let's say the seashore. Where the tide goes in, right? And then it goes out, right? And then it goes in. And now you see the tide coming in with a basketball. A basketball. Yisrael Schwartz, written on the basketball. Right? Or let's say, God forbid, there's a tsunami, there was a hurricane coming in New Orleans, and 30 miles down, I don't know what's 30 miles away from New Orleans, as the water's rushing, there's a basketball with Yisrael Schwartz's name on it. Right? And you find it. What's the halacha? Right? Af al pi sheyesh basimen, even though there's a siman, an identifying mark, hare zu shel motzah, it belongs to the guy who found it. Why? And now the Torah tells us a very interesting point. Remember, every word of the Torah is written for a reason, and it tells you exactly. So if you look carefully, when it says, and so you shall do to anything, shenemar, asher tovad mimenu umitzasa, so shall you do with anything that was lost, mimenu, from him, umitzasa, and you found it. Now if you look in the Torah, it says, if your neighbor loses this and this and this, blah, 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 and this, and so shall you do to things that are lost from him, and you shall find it. Who else were they lost from if not from him? So what's that word mimenu doing there? It's an extra word. And so it should say, and so you should do the things that are lost. Why is it lost from him and was found by someone else? Why lost from him? Who else does an object get lost from if not from the guy who lost it? It says in the first part, a guy loses. You find a donkey of your friend. You know it's somebody else's, right? That's the whole context of somebody else. And so you should do to things that get lost from him. We're talking about him the whole time. So what's mimenu? It's extra. So it comes to tell you, let me tell you the vort and then we'll read it inside. So the Torah is saying, only when it's lost from him, but not from others. It's lost from him, but not from others. So other people pick it up. That's when there's an obligation for me to return it. But if it's lost not just from him, but it's lost from the whole world, it's really lost, then there's no mitzvah to return it. When something comes in the tide, now what are we talking about? It probably the guy's on a boat and he dropped it. Right? You know, when the tide takes your thing away, it generally ain't coming back. Right? If you go to the East Coast, right? The tide comes in, and you know, you had a chair there, and it went in, and it's out, and now it's going off into the Atlantic Ocean. You expecting to get that back? Can anybody even get it back? No. Nobody can get it back. So that's what the Torah is saying. When it's lost from him, but that's the only one it's lost from. Umitzah, and somebody else found it. Then there's a mitzvah to return it. To exclude if it's lost not just from him, but it's lost from everybody, then there's no mitzvah return. That's what the Rambam says. And that's the drasha from Gemara. Where is this now? Shenemar's, it says, Asher tovad mimenu. It was lost from him, umitzasa, and it was found. Coming to say what? Mi shavuda mimenu, something that's lost from him, umitzuya hiyesu kolorim, and it's found by others. That's when there's a mitzvah return. Yatzazu, excluding this, Shavudu menu mikom, that's lost from him and from everybody else. Shezev vade nisyosh menu, because that, the guy who lost it certainly gave up hope from that. And even if the individual says, I didn't despair, his claim is not accepted and the finder is allowed to keep it. Because once an article is lost in that situation, the rabbis, as far as we're going to say, it's abandoned. Very interesting, a month ago in CNN, they had an interesting piece. Where this, and you can see, now you can see, Taka, why this is news. And this proves the point I've been saying all along. So this was a piece that there was a deep sea diver off the coast of who knows what godforsaken place on this world, somewhere in Asia, Chves, who knows where, right? He was deep sea diving and he finds a ring. He finds a ring with the signet of the Ohio State Buckeyes. The University of Ohio State, and the guy somewhere like off the main coast of China or Indonesia or somewhere like this, Ohio State Buckeye signet ring, which had a year on it, which is given to guys who excel in sports and are on the sports team. So the guy starts making inquiries, and he finds out who the owner was. Now, how did this happen? I think 4 or 6 years earlier, this guy who got a ring by being a letterman at Ohio State in, I think it was lacrosse. not even like football, like one of these Mickey Mouse. Lacrosse.
Mickey Mouse.
Lacrosse.
Mickey Mouse.
Lacrosse.
Yeah,
lacrosse.
It is national sports.
I mean, come on, football, that's a sport, right? Anyway, Cricket. Maybe it's cricket. I don't know. What are they? I don't know. I didn't even know that Ohio State even has lacrosse.
And you're going to put this online?
Anyway, they, so the guy was deep sea diving in that area. And he came up and it was gone. It was gone. And he gave up hope. Mamish gave up hope. And then 6 years later, this guy found it and gave it back to him. No, the halacha, clearly he didn't have to give it back to him. He clearly didn't have to give it back to him because that is gone as gone as going to be, right? But so that's why it made the news, you see. For a goy to give something back is certainly a piece of news. That's the whole thing. In a Jewish newspaper, it would be a piece of news that a yid give something back. That's not a piece of news. Every yid gives something back. The fact that a goy gives back a ring, the ring, how much money, sentimental, says that, like, mamish, that's news. That talk is news. Cause that's, cause, right. Anyway, so, you know, that's similar, like, I lost, when I was on we were vacation at a cottage about 3 years ago, went to this place at a big lake, and Menachem was, I was holding Menachem, we were swimming in the lake, and all of a sudden I look at my arm and my good old Timex of so many years, 20, 25 years, was off my wrist. He says, "Oi, that's the end. It's the end of my watch, you know, and it's somewhere in this vast, you know, and like we were in the deep water, right? You know, it's like 30 feet down. So forget it. It's not going to be." So, and I said, "It's a sign from Hashem. I'm probably not meant to wear a watch. You know, I already gave up the cell phone. Maybe I should give up the watch." Yeah. So for about 6 weeks, I wasn't wearing a watch. Nothing. All of a sudden, I get a package in the mail. And it was the person who owned the cottage who rented it out. The kid was playing in the water. It seems that I had dropped it right at the edge, not all the way in. I assumed that Menachem took. I was choshed him. He was ripping my arm. He's ripping my arm like this the whole time, and I don't see the watch. I figured he knocked it off. So the kid, their kid, who owns the place, who rented it out, was a goy, wasn't, and the kids thought he found buried treasure, right? So they found the watch, and she mailed it back to me.
I saw that on CNN.
But clearly, that's the voice.
That's the voice.
John Cameron Swayze, and it's still ticking, right?
It takes a licking and keeps
so, on. So remember, I was Miayish, and soon they could have kept it. From a halacha standpoint of view, they could have kept it, and there's no reason to give it back, right?
They didn't know the halakha.
But I was Miayish. You think I ever thought I'm going to get it again? I'm never going to get it. But Hashem wanted to take away from me. Hashem wanted to give it back. And only Hashem could do those kinds of things. So that's what you see. So that kind of situation, you don't have to give it back. Okay. Now, Yud Aleph is a little bit different. Hama'abed mamona ladas. What if a person intentionally abandons his property? He intentionally abandons. We'll give an example. You're not obliged to help him. Kate said, let's have an example. He niach paroso barefes. A guy leaves his cow in a cow shed. Shane does, it has no door. And usually you don't leave cows in a shed with no door because the cow is going to run out. I mean, the guy really doesn't care. Veloksha, he doesn't even tie the cow down. Yeah, at least tie it down. He just puts it into the shed. The door is, there's no door. Not tied down, and you know it's only a few yards to Bathurst Street, right? But Holland, he walks away from the cow, and now the cow is in the middle of Bathurst Street, and you saw this. Or a better case, guy takes his wallet and just throws it into the street. You're in Union Station, and he throws it into the street. He shlich kisol shizaram. He throws his pocketbook into the public terror. Holland, he goes. He walks away. For kol kayes, anything similar to that. So you might say, well, do you know whose it is? Absolutely. You absolutely know who it is. Do you have an obligation to return it? No. Hareze ibeid mamono ledato. He intentionally caused his property to get lost. Now, ve'afal pisha osu l'ro devas elita l'aso. Even though, here's an interesting, you're not allowed to take it. Here's an interesting, are you allowed to take it? No, we didn't say you can take it. It said, eidni skucking lo, you don't have to help him. You're not allowed to take it. Why are you not allowed to take it? Because it's still his. It's still his property. He hasn't formally renounced ownership of it. So you can't take it. But the main halacha is, Eino Zokuk Lachzer, but you're not obliged to return it. Because I don't have to return something. The guy doesn't care to take care of his own things. right? There's different levels. This halacha teaches a new level. If a guy loses something and there's no way he can get it back, he knows then he's miyayesh, he has given up hope, then it's not his anymore. Now I can keep it. Here, the guy's just stabbing a shuganer. He throws it. He didn't renounce ownership of it. He's just, you know, he's not careful. He's very careless. Very careless. He's just joking. No normal person throws things around in the street and walks around. Yeah, you know, in a couple hours I'll come back for it. Are you crazy? So I can't keep it because he hasn't formally renounced ownership of it. He hasn't said, I am miyayish of it. But on the other hand, I don't have to go out of my way to help a guy who's purposely being so foolish that he's not doing anything to take care of himself. And therefore, I don't have to return it. One of the comments, he argues on the Rambam. And he says, if a guy does that, that already is giving up ownership. That's what the Torah, he argues, is a different opinion. The Shulchan Aruch quotes the Rambam, while the Ramah quotes the Torah. So Machlokas Poskim, exactly what the final halacha is. Shenemar, how do we know this? That I don't have to help him. It says, Asher Tovad, for a thing that is lost. It's in a situation of being lost. That's when you have to return it. Prat, to exclude Lema'abed, that is something that you make lost. Something I throw away, that's not lost. It's I'm making it lost, not that it got lost. And then I don't have to do that. Let's do one more halacha to get to the bottom of the page. Yud Beis. One liner. Aveda she'ein ba shava pruta. A lost object that's not worth even a shava pruta. A shava pruta is the minimum value of any kind of currency. So a pruta is really a copper coin of minimal value. Okay, today I guess you a penny. A penny would be approved. There's some illegal, something you can do something with a penny. I don't know, can you do something with a penny nowadays? Sure, can you buy anything with a penny? Maybe a nickel, whatever. Whatever. But it's a very minimal amount. It's not even a dollar. Maybe a nickel, something like that. Shove a fruit. But the thing you find is worth less than that. You don't have to concern yourself with, you don't have to return it. Why don't you have to concern yourself and return with it? Because the Torah says, it has to be an aveda. It has to be a lost object. A lost object has to have a value. When it's less than the value of any kind of currency that's of any use, then it's not considered having any value. And therefore, it's not an object to return. It says, the Torah says, he loses. Losing means something I lost that I had that I'd like back. But if something has such a minimal value, it's something you couldn't even put on a balance sheet. Right? If you can put it on a balance sheet, it translates into a loss. But if it's so little, you don't even put it onto a balance sheet. Right? It's a penny. A penny, you know, you don't put on the balance sheet. Depending on whose balance sheet. Maybe my kid puts a penny on the balance sheet. Big company doesn't. But it's valueless. And since it's valueless, and let's say you took it, right? We assume the owner has been mevater. He just gave up on it. He doesn't care. It's not worth my time. Maybe I feel bad. You know, maybe it was a little ring or something. It was worth a penny. A Cracker Jack ring from the time you were a kid. You had for many years. You felt bad. But, you know, you're going to let it go. The owner will let it go. He's not going to say, oh, the guy stole from me. I want it back. All these things. It doesn't apply. Yeah.
The guy who threw his wallet away in Union Station.
Yeah.
If you didn't see that happen, you came 1 second later. You pick it up.
If you don't know, then other laws apply. This is when you saw the guy threw it. You saw the guy threw it.
Back to the previous law.
Right.